Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to Creative Control. While I have you here, please consider supporting Youth Empowerment and Support Services, otherwise known as YES. Based in Edmonton, Alberta, YES provides immediate and low-barrier overnight and day shelter, temporary supportive housing, and individualized wraparound supports for young people aged 15 to 24. They work collaboratively within a network of care focused on the prevention of youth homelessness by providing youth with the necessary supports to stabilize their housing, improve their well-being, build life skills, connect with community, and avoid re-entry into homelessness. Learn more about how to donate or otherwise support YES by visiting yess.org.
Creative Control. Comedy, art, and sometimes rock and roll. Let's do a public opinion poll. Raise your hand if you love creative control. 'Cause when Vish is unleashed, well, you... Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there. I was just working on a tribute song to my favorite podcast, Creative Control, with Vish Khanna. My name is Matthias, and I play in a band called The Burning Hell, but more importantly, I support Creative Control on Patreon, and I think you should too. Quality long-form arts journalism is like a magical talking unicorn. It definitely exists, but it can be really hard to find. Fortunately for us, Vish makes it easy with hundreds of funny, thought-provoking, well-researched, and engaging interviews with artists from all over the world. Your flexible monthly donation on Patreon will get you plenty of special exclusive treats and help Vish keep his podcast well-fed and cared for properly, the way a magical unicorn deserves.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today.
Creative Control with Vish Khanna.
Joe Pera is a very funny writer, comedian, producer, author, actor, and television personality currently based in Brooklyn, New York. Originally from Buffalo, New York, Pera has established himself as a gifted, inclusive, and idiosyncratic stand-up comedian who has toured a lot and appeared as a guest or else performed on shows like The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Conan, and Late Night with Seth Meyers, among others. His profile has been high in recent years thanks to the success and following for his internet video segments and his beloved Adult Swim television program, Joe Pera Talks With You. On November 16th, 2021, Tom Doherty Associates Books, in collaboration with Forge, published a lovely and insightful book by Pera and illustrator Joe Bennett. It's called A Bathroom Book for People Not Pooping or Peeing, but Using the Bathroom as an Escape. And it prompted Joe Pera and I to have a discussion about it, his recent fruit fly infestation, his upbringing in Buffalo, why there are no rats in Alberta, Canada, his relationship with his frequent collaborator, Connor O'Malley, oatmeal and eggs, tree TV and quail, influential comedians, falling asleep, watching CBC in Buffalo, hockey and Don Cherry, Scott Thompson and the Kids in the Hall, his comedian friend Joe Firestone, doing a stand-up tour very soon as I'm speaking to you, other future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it, and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol, plus in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario. This is episode 671 of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Joe Pera, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Vish?
Oh, I'm well. It's a thrill and an honor to get to speak with you. I'm a fan. First of all, where in the world are you today, Joe?
I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, Brooklyn, New York. How are things going in Brooklyn? Well, what's your day shaping up like, if I might ask?
This is good. I've been kind of having a war on fruit flies in my apartment, and I think the tide has finally turned.
I see. I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I laid out a bunch of vinegar traps, red wine with soap in it, and it's slowly winding down, though, you know, we're not going to win the war on insects long term. There's so many more of them than there are of us. And, you know, but if I could just keep it to a minimum inside my apartment, I'll be happy for now.
Well, that's a fair assessment of the state of the world, frankly. That's the way the life is. Yeah. Now, may I ask you this? Do you have a lot of fruit, exposed fruit, lying around that might be drawing the fruit flies to your home?
No, they actually, somebody sent me a plant as a gift, and I think they got in that way, and I couldn't find, I think they found a big bag of brown rice, and they were eating that, which was why it took me so long to discover them. I looked through all the stuff with sugar that I had, but they were going for a grain, which was slightly unexpected tactics on their end, so it took a little bit longer to figure out what was going on, but I came home late one night and kind of had enough, so I ended up going through everything in my cupboard and taking care of business.
Well, it's admirable for you to do this, to take on the fruit fly infestation, because it's not easy. Based on the description of your tactics there, was that a homemade attempt at ridding yourself of the fruit flies? And if so, has it been effective thus far?
It's been pretty good. They got these sticky traps that you can buy too. So I eventually set them up because they'll kind of circle the vinegar. If you mix just vinegar or old wine with soap, it'll create enough surface tension that once they're in there, they won't be able to get out.
That's right.
But sometimes, you know, they'll fly around it for a while. So I created kind of like a backboard of these sticky traps above the vinegar traps, and is kind of it's actually been really effective method. A little bit cruel in a way.
Yeah,
it's been a weird few days, because if I see one kind of struggling, I'll go up with a piece of paper and kind of end things.
end things? Is that what you said? Okay, yeah, you'll just end it. The fruit fly is just done. I get it, yeah.
It feels bad.
It does feel bad. They're a weird thing because they don't really do anything per se. Like, they're just around and they hover. They can't bite you. They eat your food. That's bad. But right. Like I'll be reading, like, I have a copy of your excellent book here, which I'm showing to you as if we're on a talk show, but like I'm showing the people, but it's called A Bathroom Book for People Not Pooping or Peeing but Using the Bathroom as an Escape, as I've already mentioned in the introduction for this episode. But in any case, I'll be reading a book just like this one in my bedroom, in the bed, and I have a little night lamp thing, like a lamp that sits on top of my bed. Anyway, every once in a while, fruit fly. And they just buzz in, and like it creates a shadow on my book, but then I look and they're gone. They have no flight pattern. They're just all over the place. They're all over the road, and I can't handle it. But when I really think about it, what is it doing? It's going to die. Like, if you didn't do anything, Joe, wouldn't they just die?
As long as there's food in here, I think they would be okay.
The same fruit fly? The same one. I thought they died, and then they just spawn more fruit flies.
Right, but they just, I mean, that fruit fly would pass, but I think he would lay some eggs, and then I saw an article today that said they'll sometimes lay up to 500 eggs.
Oh.
So you could really, you know, if you don't get on top of it, they could really get going.
Yeah.
And I mean, I agree. I don't know what they're up to. I'm curious. It's very, I'm sometimes.
What are they up to? What are they doing?
I guess just trying to eat. But beyond that, I don't know. They are like so kind of dumb. Maybe they got something going on that we don't know about. But it's just, you know, they just want that. They just want those sweets. That's about the underlying thing for their species.
It seems to be the case. Yeah. So I will say to you that we had a fruit fly. I'm calling you, or we're talking rather, from Edmonton, Alberta. I'm living in Edmonton, Alberta, after living in Ontario, not too far from Buffalo, New York, if I might say, which I believe you hail from. Is that correct?
Yeah. Grew up in Buffalo.
We'll talk about that maybe in a little bit, but I am from Ontario, not too far from Buffalo, mm-hmm. in the Kitchener Water. Do you know Ontario very well? Did you come up here or come up to Canada a lot?
Mostly just to Toronto.
We went to Burlington
once in a while.
Burlington, Ontario? What was in Burlington for you?
Playing hockey tournaments. I never did like travel hockey, but I played for like the town league. And one weekend each year, we'd go play a team in Burlington. And then another weekend, they'd come and play us. And it was great. This was showing somebody the other day. The Holodome, the Holiday Inn Holodome. It was kind of like they have the hotel built, and then there's this large indoor courtyard, and we all used to play mini stick hockey, and then they had this big pool surrounded by glass, and my parents would never let me in the hot tub because they knew how much peeing was going on in there. But one year, right when we arrived, some kid ran right through the glass of the pool, and he was somehow okay, but he shattered the entire pool, and they had to drain it to get the shards out before, and nobody could swim all weekend.
Oh no. But
that was a thrill.
It sounds thrilling. You know, they used to say that if people peed in the public pool, the chlorine would kill it. If you pee in the hot tub, will the heat kill the pee, the germs, or no?
It's a good question.
I mean, you're not an expert. I know that. I just wondered.
I don't know. I think it's probably the perfect temperature for it to grow, right?
I never thought of that.
If there's lots of bacteria, I don't know.
It's not our area of expertise. Just making conversation. You brought it up. I didn't want to talk about this. But anyway, so where I was coming from was, we used to go to Buffalo all the time when I was a kid because they had the outlet malls. We thought in Canada we would be saving lots of money by going across the border to buy, like, to pay less shoes and all the, like, outlets. There's just, like, a bunch of duty-free, whatever it was. So were you used to seeing Canadians in Buffalo because of that?
Yes. Oh. It was that. At the mall, at the Galleria Mall, there's Ontario license plates.
Yeah.
And then at the Sabres-Leaf games, the Canadians would kind of flood the city, and it was pretty fun. They're really fun games to go to because I think that it's still cheaper to come to Buffalo and go to a Maple Leafs game in Buffalo than it is to buy tickets in Toronto.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
So there'd be tons of Toronto fans, and it was fun. You know, nothing really bad happened, but it was fun to watch. You remember Ty Domi?
Oh, of course. Number 28 on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Saves a scrapper. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of a really fun to watch him go at it with Rob Ray.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the stands would go nuts for that. And laugh. Yeah.
He was the player if he wasn't on your team, Ty Domi was what they call the player you love to hate. That's what they would say about him. And I remember that. I don't really follow I play hockey a little bit. I played when I was a kid, and then my parents took me out. They thought it wasn't safe. Can you believe that? Where were they coming from? Perfectly safe sport. And then they took me out, and then I found it again in my, I want to say in my mid-20s, an arts league connected to a magazine that I worked for, Exclaim Magazine, which is like a pop culture magazine, still going.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they started their own arts league. So there could so it was just like all sorts of bands from Canada who were based in Ontario mostly. Well, actually, no, there would be an annual Easter tournament. And from all across the country, these musicians and music writers would come and play in a hockey tournament. And it was actually quite lovely because they would get, sometimes people would get hot under the collar, but not really. Mm-hmm. There was no contact. It was meant to be very civil. We'd have a big jam, like a music performance every night at the local clubs in Toronto. So all the teams had to come up with like a musical performance. It was quite creative. When did you, anyway, sorry, I liked that. I liked I just assumed I'd never play hockey again in my life.
Yeah.
How long did you play hockey for, if I might ask?
So like the middle of high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, it was just got to the point where you had to do it all of the time and be in the weight bench or the weight room. I mean, you know, on the days where you weren't skating, and it's like, there's other stuff I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, but, it's the best. I don't know. It's awesome. You've been able to get back into it.
Well, I was going to, I'm a little bit all over the place, so forgive me, Joe. I wanted to talk about the fruit flies some more, just a little bit, to say that in my home in Guelph, when I lived in Guelph, Ontario, where I spent most of my life, really, after moving there for school, we had a fruit fly problem, my wife and I. We tried all this. We did exactly what you said. You know, all the home stuff you read about, what the wine and the... Oh, and the ants. Yeah. Oh, we had an ant infestation. That was even weirder because when I look it up, they would say, oh, line the cracks with baby powder. And it worked. Like that one worked.
Yeah.
Baby powder, they don't like it. It messes with their olfactory sensation and they can't find their way back to the nest. Where do the ants live? In a hill? I don't know where they go. But they're supposed to come in and get the food and then the scout or what. I don't know enough about ants, but they would bring it back.
Yeah.
To the home, let's call it their house.
Yeah.
And they couldn't, the baby powder messed everything up and they couldn't find their house. So that worked. But all the homemade fruit fly stuff didn't work until we went to, do you guys have in America, do you have something called Lee Valley Tools? Is that a business?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's
or
like
that,
a
that I've heard of.
Okay. Anyway, they sold their own, they made proprietary fruit fly strips. And I tell you, I put anything on. Those things worked. And I don't know what happened. The fruit flies are just gone, and they were a little sticky. And that's what I dealt with there. But here in Edmonton, Alberta, we have some fruit. We keep a lot of fruit on the counter. Do you get those little cherry tomatoes? You must have those. And then clementines and bananas and... It's all there. Kiwi, I have fresh. Do you want? Are you hungry? I can't get you any food right now, but we have a lot of stuff. Anyway, all this to say, when I was in Ontario, fruit flies. And so that brings me to what were we talking about? Ontario, Alberta. I'm in Alberta now. Did I establish that? I'm in Alberta.
Yeah.
And I know you have some relationship with Alberta, right? Do you know it a little bit? Do you know a story about it?
We did an the episode about the rats for my TV show. It was it's incredible. We were supposed to do, we had to have a, we didn't have to, but we wrote that there was a musical inside the episode that kind of the plot functions around and we were going to write it about the I think it was like the 97-98 Detroit Red Wings, mm-hmm. Stanley Cup championship team, but also the tragedy the defenseman got in an accident and was paralyzed.
Oh, I'm foggy on that part of that story. I can't think of that right now, but okay. Yeah.
So the musical was going to be about that, but then my brother sent me an article about the rats in Alberta, and I was dropped everything, and I got so excited and was just, it must have seemed insane, but I was like, we must do the musical about
right.
The Alberta Rat Patrol.
Yes. This is how the episode kind of ensues. You had one idea, and then you're convinced to do another idea. So this is based on some reality, some fact.
Yeah. It's just an incredible story and thing that's going on. And I guess, maybe the fruit flies relates to the rats in that, the rats are going to outlive us. I was thinking about that with the... I don't know, the whole Ukraine conflict.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't think it'll end up nuclear, but if it was, I'm looking at these fruit flies and thinking, fruit flies are going to outlast us, probably.
Yeah, that's a very morbid way of doing a callback to our fruit fly discussion, but you might be onto something there. Yeah,
the rats and the fruit flies are going to be a-okay.
Now, for those who haven't seen the episode or know the story, I know you alluded to it there, Joe, and I don't want to dwell too much on it, but I will tell you before I ask you to maybe elaborate upon what you read and what is actually true about what you read. And what is true and factual about the musical you made for your show. When I told people I was moving to Alberta, mm-hmm. that's what they talked about.
Really?
I had a fellow I know named Joe Casey. He plays in a band called Protomartyr. And when he told me this, I don't think I'd seen your episode. No, I hadn't. I hadn't seen the episode yet. So I didn't know what he was alluding to. And I said, I'm moving to Alberta. And he's like, do you know there's no rats in Alberta? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, there's just not a single rat. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, well, I saw a documentary show about this.
Yeah.
And I realized he was sort of pranking me. He was, sort of. He was alluding to you and your show. I figured it out after.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you that thing real quick. But I went to the plaza and here, and I sent a picture to Joe Casey from Protomartyr of a rat trap.
Yeah.
There is the pharmacy outside the pharmacy in the plaza near my house has a giant rat trap. I was like, and I don't think I was getting the joke. I didn't know what he was talking about, but I'm like, Joe, look, what are you talking about? There's rats. They have rat traps. Anyway, sorry. Can you talk a little bit more just about what you read and what you've done to Alberta's reputation as a result of your show?
I guess I haven't read on it for a few years, but there's a handful, I think less than 20 people on the patrol, but they kind of patrol the eastern border to make sure that none of the rats get into the feed in the farms along the border, because once they do, I think they'll be able to grow and spread pretty quick. So they kind of just patrol the border in these pickup trucks. And it's just, it's very interesting to think of these guys going out in the morning and, declaring war on another species that, it's been going on for so many years. And I don't know I wonder how long he can keep it going for. It's great. Apparently it saves the Providence, I think like $6 billion in crops and unspoiled feed.
It's an agricultural issue.
So it's definitely
they're dealing with. Yeah. Now, are there any states in your country, America? I'm just saying that in case people don't realize you're in America. Are there any states that you can think of that do anything similar? Because you have a lot of prairie sort of states, agricultural based economies, if you will, and states. Have you heard of this occurring anywhere else?
I don't know about. I don't know. My friend Connor, who writes on the show, is showing me these dog owners in, I think it was Ireland, they kind of like de-rat the fields with dogs. And it's a wild thing to watch. It's kind of, it's not the most pleasant, but they train these dogs to go hunt these rats. And every so often farmers will hire them to let the dogs loose on the property, and they'll try and grab the rats by the scruff of their neck, shake them, and then move on to the next one.
Right.
And that's, so it's crazy to watch, but, yeah, I think there's some rat catching teams in New York too with the dogs, but it's New York is a lost battle.
Yeah, that's just the capital of the rat. That's the rat capital of the country, isn't it? New York, I think, probably.
Yes,
it's gotta be. Yeah. You alluded to Connor. I'm a fan of Connor's as well. And since you brought him up, I just want to ask a question. I'm sure I'm not the only one who wonders about your dynamic.
Sure.
You and Connor, because Connor's presentation style tends to be. I'm motioning. People can't see this. My hand is up above my head. It's high.
Yeah.
You, Joe, tend to be a bit... I'm lowering my hand now for those listening. Tend to be a bit lower key. How does that dynamic work in real life? That sort of tone, if you will. Demeanor.
I think they work... We bounce off each other well. We have an interest in a lot of similar things. Like, for example, that Irish... the Irish dogs that catch the rats is very up his alley, but I'm very interested in that too. I don't know. We're interested in people. We kind of we're both I'm from Buffalo. He's from Chicago. And
yeah.
I think we just had a lot of similar experiences growing up and the types of people that we were around and looked up to and so even though it doesn't come out in the same way, I think, that's why we kind of get along. And also we both like, we get along well because we like diner food a lot and, going out for a big omelet or something is something we like to do.
How many eggs in your big omelet?
3 is enough for me.
Yeah, 3 seems like a lot. Are you cutting back? Like, I'm starting to feel like I got to cut back on stuff. I almost had oatmeal for lunch today, and my wife was like, well, I'm not having oatmeal. You know, my wife and I are both working from home. I'm like, I don't know. I made the whole family greasy breakfast sandwiches today. And I was like, for lunch, we should just have something plain. Like, what if I made oatmeal? She's like, no, can't do it. Are you trying to be mindful of how you eat?
A little bit, yeah. But yeah, your wife, I think, did the right thing. If you ate oatmeal for lunch, think how sad you'd be afternoon.
Well, oatmeal can be very fun. You can put cinnamon in it and chocolate chips and almond slivers and brown sugar. Like, it can be a taste treat.
That's true. What did you have in mind? Did you lay out the full oatmeal plan for her before she stopped you, or did she just put up her hand and say?
She just said no. She said, I bought soup. Why don't you just make us some soup and some toast? And I said, okay. Which is just, that's like a kind of oatmeal if you really think about it.
risk annoying your wife, but that would be funny if you served oatmeal and said it's the same thing.
That's what I was thinking. I actually thought that. But yeah, I can't. I have a thing where I will only eat eggs every other day. Like, I won't eat eggs every single day.
Yeah.
And she's trying to tell me, like, oh, they debunked all that cholesterol stuff, it's fine. But now she's coming to my... I'm getting older. Like, I just want to be careful.
Yeah.
And I feel like... Are you mindful of your diet in that regard?
A little bit. Yeah, I was just in Michigan for a bit in the UP. And, you know, you really get carried away with the fried food and beer up there. And it was slowing me down. So now I'm down to 8 beers a day. And
eight beers a day? Are you serious?
And fish fries for only lunch and dinner, not for breakfast too.
Oh my God! Okay, so you think I'm some sort of quack with my highfalutin ideas? Like I don't drink beer at all. I wouldn't have one beer. You're having 8. That's amazing.
No. A food scientist actually said that if you drink 8 dark beers a day, it's good for your heart. And your mind.
Oh, man, Joe, you're reading too many food scientists on the internet. That can't possibly be true.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think. Now, wait a minute. So how many beer you had today? Have you had any beer today? Or is it just eight in one go later?
I do it right between 5 and 5:30, and then that's then I'm good for the day.
I don't think this is healthy at all. Anyway, it's nice to hear about your dynamic with Connor. That sounds interesting, and I just something I wonder about, knowing, because if anyone who hasn't seen Connor's YouTube channel or his tweets and all, like, they're just intense, and I come to you for calmness. My whole family has been in the vicinity as I've been going through some of your stuff to refresh my memory, and everyone likes it. My son wants there to be a tree TV, for example. That's one of your recent, is that a recent thing? No, that's not, when did you do the tree TV thing? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we made a special during early pandemic called Relaxing Old Footage.
Yes.
And we just had a lot of tree footage that we didn't know what to do with from the show, because, we'll shoot extra. If we see a nice tree, we'll film it and then not know where to put it in an 11-minute episode without really interfering with the plot. Yeah. So we took all those trees and used it as a section, and I hypothesized how nice it would be if there was a channel called Tree TV that played footage of trees all day.
Big fans over here. Like, that was a little while ago that we watched that, and I told my son I was going to talk to you, and without skipping a beat, they said, the Tree TV guy? I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to the Tree TV guy. That's how they know you. But I watched you, I don't know if this is more recent, I watched you make it was a quail pie?
Yeah.
Was that about a month and a half ago that came out or something like that?
Yeah, I was... I was out in the Midwest, so I reached out to John Townsend of Townsend and Sons YouTube channel and store, and we've been talking about doing a video for a while, because I love their videos, it worked out, and we made quail thatched roof pie. It was called, because we put a little vermicelli pasta on the top to make it look like a roof. And then,
yes, it was lovely looking, by the way, if I might say.
Thank you. I'd recommend it. It was a very easy recipe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just pie crust, quail, which I don't know. I don't know where you'd get them. But then, salt, pepper, a little vermicelli pasta, and butter. That's it.
Yeah. A better option than pigeon. You were wondering in the video if a New York pigeon might suffice in lieu of a quail, and I thought that was a funny exchange. And the premise of that show is the whole premise of that show. We're just promoting another show, but that's fine. Premise of that show, you were great on it. It was great. I enjoyed it very much. Is it mostly 18th century cooking, or was that just that particular episode? I'm not totally familiar with that show.
Yeah, late 17th to 18th century cooking. We kind of, American colonial era and a little bit after that. So they take old recipes and make them. And they've got a kitchen that's built just like it was back then. And it was great as I hope to shoot with them, because they're really nicely done videos, and they make you hungry, and it just makes you want to roast a hunk of beef over an open fire.
Well, my wife, who's a much more skilled and passionate cook than I am, I do my best, but she loved that segment. I will say, and I'll bring up my wife as much as I can, because I liked watching your stuff with her. Yours is the kind of stuff I might watch in my office, but I was just decided to take Joe Pera into the house, onto the TVs, onto all the other screens, so just so everyone could get a sense of it. And my wife knows I like comedy, and sometimes I like offbeat comedy. She finds you perplexing. She finds the segments in the show a little confusing, because she likes you very much. But she's watching you, I think, like maybe other people too, waiting for the other shoe to drop constantly. Like, so what's going to happen? Okay, this can't be real. This is too wholesome. Why is he doing a cooking segment now? What's going to happen? What disaster is going to ensue? Do you feel like that's is that a common reaction to your work? Or do you get a lot of feedback saying, thank you, just thank you so much for your wonderful, homey content. Well, what kinds of reactions do you get generally, Joe?
It's funny to me it's funny and just interesting to present as straightforward show as possible. I know that doesn't describe all of it, but
yeah.
I mentioned this before, but like I was thinking in the writer's room, like how to describe what I think is a great joke for the show. And I used the writer, a friend of mine's joke that Dan Licata, one that he said, and it's just, what's the best, what I like best about barbecue? The smoky flavor. that's exactly what it is.
yeah, I like that stuff too. I don't know if you have particular influences or heroes in that regard. Where someone I admire greatly and got to be a little bit friendly with was Norm Macdonald.
Yeah,
and Norm had this thing where the punchline of the joke was the setup of the joke. And they were kind of connected. Like that was his goal, was if you could repeat what you said but just change your cadence, that's the joke. Do you have people like that in your life or in your history where you're like, yeah, I know. I think of you, by the way, I should say. I think you have a very original voice. I think you're your own person. I don't understand you, let alone my wife, who's upstairs right now, potentially wondering how I'm doing in here with you. But I think of you as a very original voice. But did you have people like that who kind of struck a nerve with you in terms of your own approach to comedy or what you thought was possible?
Sure. Norm's one of them. I was trying to think of, I don't know. I think people and their if you kind of let them be themselves, they'll be funny and trying to just look for that. Like, I don't know. I think Ricky Gervais's Office was a big moment. I think Zach Galifianakis's Comedy Central Presents was a big moment for comedy. Yeah. You know, where he did that final number with the 17 piece a cappella group comprised of his ex-girlfriends. And it was just like, you can, and I don't know, it's just like you can present anything that you want through comedy that's, you know, funny and interesting, and you could do anything was kind of the takeaway.
Yeah. Well, I want to say, and I don't know if you've gotten this feedback, but it feels particularly soothing to go through your shows. I'll go through your late night talk show appearances. It's felt particularly good during this time of isolation and lockdown. Have you gotten that feedback from anyone else? Because I take a lot of comfort in it and respite in it because it's weird, but it also feels like it's calming. It's just calming. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I guess the origin of my The Adult Swim series in general is called an animation I did called Joe Parrot Talks You to Sleep, which my friend Nate Fernald recommended. He's like, you've been you're so low key on stage and your voice is so calming that you should just kind of present it in this way and try and talk the audience to sleep because it's such a good feeling to fall asleep on a nice note like that. And don't try and make it like overly quaint, but to try and make somebody laugh and also relax them at the same time is kind of interesting thing for me to attempt. Like, I don't know. In high school, I played in the orchestra. And I had a teacher. My dad fell asleep because he worked a lot, and he would come to the concerts and would be asleep in a few minutes. Talking about that with the orchestra teacher, and he said sleep is a reaction too, and I think a good one.
It's a weird one. I fell asleep during a King Crimson concert. That I, really? I was invited to a King Crimson concert, so I went and I brought one of the people I worked with was a big fan, so I brought him. I'd never seen them before, but I knew them and I knew them, and so I went. And there's like 15 people on. It's kind of like probably like your high school orchestra, really, or whatever that was. A lot of people on stage, a lot of noise, and I don't know what happened. We drove to Toronto, and I was like, he had to be like, hey, Beesh, wake up. What are you? I'm like, oh, sorry. What's going on? Like, you can get kicked out of a place if you fall asleep. They don't like it when you fall asleep in a concert. It was a theater, so I was seated. Yeah. I wasn't on my feet asleep. But anyway, yeah, I find your sleep video very soothing on some level. And for those who haven't seen it yet, is it 10 hours? Is that correct? It's meant to be 10 hours?
The original we made on like a shoestring budget for Adult Swim's 4 a.m. infomercial slot, which was like, it felt like the perfect thing for that time of night. And then they made a 10-hour version of it by just looping it.
Yeah, so they loop it. So all I wanted to say to you is I do find it soothing and comforting on the one hand. I haven't actually tried to sleep to it. But I will say I was thinking about it the other day because on the one hand, you're saying a lot of stuff that's meditative and soothing. But then out of nowhere, you bring up Bernie Madoff. And that's that just stressed me right out. I was like, oh, yeah, my finances. How am I supposed to sleep with this now? He made me think of my money. And then I got upset. You know what I'm saying? Oh. So like that's what I'm – that's the other shoe. I was alluding earlier to what's going to happen here. Oh, things didn't work out so well for Bernie Madoff. Well, what does that mean? So then I'm just like, if I were to have that on, I'd be lying awake. Am I going to be like Bernie Madoff? I haven't ripped anyone off. Like, it just made me nervous on several levels. You know what I'm saying? I'm not involved. I just want to clarify. No Ponzi scheme coming from me. But, sorry. Anyway, it's all very, very fascinating. And I just want to convey to you that it's meaningful to me.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And I guess the Bernie Madoff, it's kind of, I guess that part was trying to, it was the state of mind, you know, your conscious flutters around weird places as you're trying to fall asleep. It was kind of our attempt to kind of drift in ways that, you know, sometimes you don't want your mind to drift before you go to bed.
Well, I might actually put it on my phone tonight as my wife and I go to sleep and see what happens. I haven't done it yet. I haven't put it on as a loop.
Do people do it? Some people say that it works for them, which is a great compliment. And I hope. Yeah, it's a great compliment. And that's kind of like, I don't want you to fall asleep while you're watching Joe Parra Talks with you, the show. Yeah. But if you do, it's fine. I love falling asleep watching movies and waking up on the couch under a blanket. It's a good feeling.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your compulsion to want to help people in some regard, whether it's sincere or not. I think it generally is. Watching you make that chair on an episode of your show, watching you just do things and make things and say things that I don't even know if it's true. You know, this whole fruit fly thing you said at the top of the show, I don't know if it's true. I can't fact check it right now. But that's my general, it is inspiring, I will say. Like, I was like, I want to build a chair. I want to whittle some wood and whatever, you know? Like, so, and anyway, I wonder about your compulsion to help people, and that might be a nice segue into getting into a bathroom book for people not pooping or peeing, but using the bathroom as an escape. Before we get to it, do you know where your compulsion to want to help people comes from, per se?
Yeah, I would say I would prefer to make them laugh. And I think I cite in the book, I'm not an expert on that. I was just trying. A lot of the time I get stressed out about stuff, and I just, when writing the show, that's my way to, or doing stand-up, that's my way of sorting out thoughts and just, you know, taking things, slowing down, I guess, is the thing. So, yeah, I hope it helps. I don't want to pretend I'm some self-help guru. It's just like, well, this works for me, and I'll share that with you. And, you know, whether you find that funny or actually helpful is up to you.
You've said things that seem like asides that have resonated with me. I'll say that at least for a day, I am thinking about what you said about some historical, I'm putting fact in air quotes, but I think they are facts. I think. I can't think of a specific example, but just things you've said have kind of altered me for at least a day, and I've just thought about it. Oh. So I just want you to know that it is impactful, and there's something about the packaging where you're you don't sound like the most motivated motivational speaker, if I may. Something about your energy level isn't in that category, so I don't want to mislabel you. But there's like a motivational aspect to what you do, I think. Like, for me anyway, like, I see what you're saying. Like, I could just sit with you and listen to you and watch your show and feel like the stress kind of disappearing. And then if I kind of think about putting the things into practice that you've said, or again, the chair episode where you're in the shop and you're looking at the chairs.
Yeah.
Made me think that just is a relaxing thing to think about somehow, just like resting, sitting. You know where I'm coming from there?
Yeah, no, that's great. And I guess I like watching videos of stuff being made, people doing stuff, doing things. It's satisfying in a way that I think, like, you know, actually doing them is sometimes. And I really, after we started making the show, where it potentially could have come from. And that's, my dad was in construction and he brought home a VHS tape of, This Old House. And
Bob Vila? Bob Vila show? Yeah.
And for some reason, when I was a kid, like 2 or 3, that was my video to watch as I took a nap. Not a Disney movie or anything, but my mom would put on Bob Vila and I'd fall asleep watching him. I think he was refinishing a hardwood floor in one. Another one is he would replacing the lock and bolt on a front door. And, I still remember, like, he used a lipstick to mark where he wanted to cut the hole out. And it's just like little,
lipstick. Interesting.
Yeah. He used it to mark, but like little, details like that that are very specific, interesting, real texture to them is something that I enjoyed watching and thought was interesting.
Yeah.
So, in the YouTube videos I watch now, I mean, Townsend's videos are a great example of that. You just, maybe learn a little bit too.
So the DIY, if you will, the DIY aesthetic is appealing to you. As you're talking about Bob Vila and the Townsend videos, like, God, there's like the HD, what's it called? HGTV, there's that whole network and the Food Network. Like, there's all these shows that are kind of showing people how to do stuff and they have very high production values and all this stuff. But there is a part of me that thinks, oh, they're just trying to teach us how to do everything ourselves. My association with that term is mostly about music and comedy. Like, you do it yourself. Do you see DIY applications in other aspects of your life as a comedian? Is like, do you feel like that drives you to make things?
Definitely. I mean, just sitting down and writing. Who do I look at? I mean, like, I think chefs are inspiring to look at as a writer, comedian, in how there's artistic. In a way, but also, you know, and all craftsmen, just how the repetition eventually leads to you getting better and the discipline involved. I'm not as disciplined as a like chef, but to be able to do that. And I think maybe part of the me, I love, I don't know, it's good thinking to take a walk or to build something, as opposed to if you just sit and write all day, you're going to go nuts. And also, or I go nuts, other people do it better, but just being able to kind of balance out what it takes to sit down and write the show or write stand up.
I think there are applicable practices, and I like the fact that people are feeling empowered to try and do things themselves, like make a chair or whatever.
I guess everybody seems to. I'm not the only one. It's just like you can make stuff yourself. You can figure out how to do stuff, and I don't know. I've myself sometimes forget it or
yeah.
But yeah, you can. Yeah,
I'm not saying you're any kind of saint, Joe. I know I can feel you get uncomfortable. I've built you up pretty big here.
No, and, I just to think, I don't know where the show is headed, but to think that you could pretty affordably build furniture in your house, it won't look great the first few times, but
yeah,
it'll last longer than the stuff you buy at the store. And,
yeah, and
I don't know.
You might take better care of it too. Yeah, yeah. I think. I don't know. I have no idea. It's an interesting way of looking at it. By the way, that's another thing you said somewhere that I'd watched you on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times you've been on that show, but on that particular appearance, he said something about meditating or something, and you said, I've learned recently that walking is a form of meditation, I think is what you said. Am I mischaracterizing what you said?
No, I didn't realize it because I always walk to think, and like a lot of the rhythm of the writing of the show and even in the show, I'm walking and talking a lot. But with stand-up, before shows, I'll pace and go through my jokes and just set that one foot in front of each other pace, I think, is how I approach my stand-up and the rhythms of that. And then the show, too. And it's, yeah, it's my way of slowing down and thinking through things and trying to get my head to where it's supposed to be.
Well, why I bring it up in this particular instance is a few episodes ago, I was talking to a guest, and I don't know which one it was at the moment, and I brought this up to them. I brought up the fact that they were kind of saying they thought meditation in itself is kind of amusing, the notion of meditating. Oh, it was my friend Eric Chenot. He lives in France. That's who it was. Sorry. And he said, oh, meditation is kind of... And I said, you know what I heard once? That going for a walk is like meditating.
Yep.
And anyway, I didn't cite you, but then I rewatched your Colbert thing last night and you said it and I'm like, oh, that's where I got that from.
Oh.
So you're seeping into my brain like a fruit fly. Like you're just like, there's just Joe Pera fruit flies all over my brain right now. And that's where I'm coming from. So I just wanted to share that with you because it occurred to me as we were talking. Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have done that historically. I've been, a bunch of writers, I think so. One of the Greek philosophers used to walk around and have conversations, and that was how he did his thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I think Isaac Asimov. I remember reading that as a kid when he couldn't figure something out. He's trying to figure out like a problem he had.
Yeah.
He would go to the movies. He would go. He would make a point of going to the movies and stop thinking about the problem. And he claimed every time he walked out of the movie, he had the solution.
Yeah.
He had the answer to his problem because he just stopped thinking about it. And I think when you go for a walk, you don't realize you're doing that. Because I get I'm doing the dishes and I get an idea and I have to run in here and write it down or type it out. Oh, there's the thing I thought of. Do you ever have that?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our brains are weird. I feel like the whole premise of your comedy and your show is our brains are weird.
Yeah. I mean, you brought up I forget how it came up, but I was thinking, like, one of my favorite things with comedy. Oh, yeah. When you're just talking about how you might not, or your wife is perplexed, I kind of, the dream is to kind of come upon things, for me at least, that you don't know why you're laughing. And sometimes you can't even explain it. Like, I have this old joke that's, it goes, I got home late on Sunday night and found that my roommates, Dan and Tomas, had gone to bed, taking care to be rested for the upcoming week. Opening the freezer door, I saw that all four ice trays were empty. So what did I do? I filled them up. Because come Monday morning, there's going to be cubes for my boys. And then I repeated again, cubes for my boys. And I don't know why that, it feels kind of, I can't explain it, but just the words cubes for my boys.
It's just funny. Yeah.
And it unlocks, it taps into something that I don't, is just, you know, you can't put your,
It's funny. It's just funny. And some people are just funny. And sometimes I think that about Norm. I think that about you, Norm MacDonald, and people like you. Walk in the room, you're funny. Just the way it is. But people recognize something's wrong or weird, and it's funny. And it's good. It's not bad. It's not bad weird. It's just like, oh, that person just emanates funny. So I think you got a bit of that, if I might say.
Thanks. Well,
you're welcome.
I'll tell you, he doesn't find me funny. Fruit flies around my apartment.
No, they might. Just so you're, what could be sweeter than a comedian? They might love your comedy, and that's why they're hanging out so much.
That's a good theory.
Yeah, they like you. It's a testament to your character as a person.
They saw the show on Adult Swim and decided that's where they had to be.
That's where they had to be. That guy's got the sweetest nectar of anyone, I think, is what they're thinking. Now, I would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about this book. Sorry, I hope are you enjoying yourself? I hope I'm not wasting your time talking about fruit flies. And okay, good. So the book is a bathroom book for people not pooping or peeing, but using the bathroom as an escape. I wonder, first of all, where did the idea for this book come from? And also, I wonder about your collaboration here with the illustrator, Joe Bennett. I wonder about those two things. Can you talk about how this all came together?
Yeah, well, Joe Bennett is a brilliant animator, and we met through friends. One afternoon, I went to his place and recorded like an hour and a half of audio for him to use in his animation. He forgot to hit the record button, and so it kind of like triggered a lot more communication, because there's, you know, just emailing about trying to figure out another way to get it done or doing it over. But he's really incredible mind when it comes to image and animation, and we just wanted a way to work together because he lives in Los Angeles. So he came up with the idea for a bathroom book. And I was just thinking of what kind of subject matter would be fun to do. And came across the title, A Bathroom Book for People Not Pooping or Peeing, but Using the Bathroom as an Escape.
Yeah.
It was just funny. And the idea it seemed just like a funny thing that you could walk into a bathroom, find it, and then kind of like laugh at the cover, but then maybe it follows through on its promise. And we just, so I kind of wrote a bit that I performed on the stage and came up with the rough ideas that way. And then I sent it to him. He told me what he liked and kind of sharpened the jokes. And he did all the illustrations and book cover design. And it was really that's how it came together. But it was very fun, and the book company tour was really nice to us, because we wanted there's like a fabric cover, and we just wanted something that felt calming, looked calming, and was like a complete object. It's the opposite of an NFT.
It's the opposite of an NFT for sure. It's a very beautiful physical object, if I might say. It feels nice. The illustrations are great. The epilogue is curious. I don't want to spoil too much about the action of the book for people who are hoping to dig into it, but may I ask you about the epilogue? Why would this book even require an epilogue of any kind, let alone this one?
I wanted to put some conversation starters at the end of the book, because – you know, the goal is not to stay in the bathroom forever. You hopefully want to get out of there, even if it is stressful outside. So I put some conversation starters that the audience could potentially say to somebody that would help smooth things out and get a conversation going.
You framed the questions, though, as I'd include some conversation starters that have worked for me in the past. This suggests they are tried, tested, and true. And some of the questions are, you ever start a fire someplace you shouldn't? And who you think Frankenstein would vote for? These can't be questions you've broached in real life, Joe. Come on.
No, I'm a little, I'm busted. But at the same time,
sorry, these...
No, it's fine. It's I just thought the idea of ask. I wonder if they work for people, because it just figured. I don't know if you ask somebody who you think Frankenstein vote for, even especially on a a non-election year, you get somebody to then laugh and relax.
Yeah, say, no, I recognize their jokes, but I also wonder. Because I could also see you doing this somehow. I could picture you, imagine you broaching these topics. Did you when you broached this with the book company, the idea?
Yeah.
At any point did they say, "Got any other ideas?" Did they say anything like that?
The editor, Allie Fisher, was really nice about. She does comedy too, and is a comedy fan, mm-hmm. and kind of like saw it in a complete way right from the beginning. The only thing is they wanted a shorter title, which makes sense, but I think it's kind of I had in mind like that, you would have to read it out loud on air in full every single time, and that, and I don't know.
That made you laugh.
Yeah. And in terms of the straightforward stuff, it's like, I want to say exactly what this book is and be that. So I don't, no confusion when you look at what is this book.
Yeah, and it seems very reverent, just the spine of the book. you don't even, like on the front, there's a little bit of messing around with the typography a little bit. But the spine just seems very straight ahead. So if you were to see this on a bookshelf, you'd be like, oh, that's a legitimate book. I'm going to pull that off and read it. I'm going to pull it off the shelf. And so that's good. I think you've done a good thing there. And I will tell people, I don't want to sound braggy, but I've read this book 5 times.
Really?
And it's taken me 20 minutes total. I love it. I like reading it over and over again just for fun. And it's what I'm getting at is it's not very time consuming. Is that a fair... Would you agree?
Well, we wanted to make it the exact length that you could read it in the bathroom and not have people get genuinely concerned about you in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people, I saw a review that was like, I wish this book was longer. And, that's a valid complaint. But that's why we kept it at the length, is because we wanted it to be able to be like a serve its purpose in a single bathroom use.
How do you measure that time exactly? Do you yourself stand in the bathroom with your draft and just read the thing to yourself out loud, and then you're like, yeah, that seems good. That seems like a good amount of time. How do you figure that out?
I guess, the reading speeds are different. It turned into like 15 minutes on stage and just about that in the audiobook that we did for it. And so that felt about right to me.
How does an audiobook, like this book is very illustration heavy. How does an audiobook work per se?
We had to tinker with some stuff, but it's kind of, I asked the composer who does the music for my show, Ryan Dan, he created a track for it and some soundscape type stuff that you could put on. And it's not the same relaxing feel as the book, but it's, you could listen to it anywhere now, on the train, in any situation that would stress you out and hopefully calm you down. You could listen to it in the bathroom too, but, just wanted to make sure that it worked, from an audio perspective, and his music really does that. And
yeah. Brings it to life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is it just you reading the audiobook?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No one else? There's no guest stars?
Billy Crystal drops in.
He drops in.
No.
Oh, no. That can be rough.
Just kidding.
That's good. No, it's a fantastic book. So now what are your credits right now? You're author, writer, producer, filmmaker, I guess? Filmmaker. Are you?
Yeah.
I guess where I'm coming from is what's next? Because you alluded to the fact you don't know what's going to happen with your show necessarily, or what does that mean? Is it going to happen? Do you think something's going to happen?
I hope so.
Okay, you don't know. I see.
But we don't know. Yeah, Yeah, we're not, we haven't been picked up again yet, but it's fine because I'll be able to do stand up again, which is where a lot of the material comes from.
Right.
Just being a stand up originally, that's how I test a lot of the bits from the show. Right. And so I'm excited to be able to do that. It feels very good again to be able to go on stage and test out material in front of an audience, and I don't know, it's kind of like the most basic or the most immediate form of comedy and comedy writing. So it's exciting to be there doing that again and get you know, see if people's sense of humor is any different over the last 2 years.
Have you been pretty much grounded during the lockdown? Have you been doing any virtual shows or anything like that, or any shows?
We were doing, yeah, we've been, I have a weekly show. It's been, we had to, when the Omicron came, we had to shut down for a little bit again and just be flexible. There were Zoom shows. Did you see any Zoom comedy shows?
I didn't see very much of any of them. There's something about the Zoom stuff that made me shut down. I couldn't do it. I wanted to sometimes, or I get a lot of notifications about them, but I'm sorry. Did you consume a lot of that stuff?
I didn't watch. I mean, you're competing with movies, and it was nice. People just wanted to stay active at the beginning, but yeah. We quickly learned it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
There were a lot of outdoor shows going on in New York, which was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we basically produced season 3 of the show during it, so that was my main creative project. Mm. And that was kind of how I kept my wheels turning. But, yeah, just being able to just, yeah, the Zoom, it'll... I'm glad. I hope nobody recorded any of the shows I was on, but it'll also be funny to watch. It's a funny aspect of the.
Yeah. It's a very strange time, and I'm with you on it. So, okay, so the show's up in the air.
Yeah.
Comedy touring? Like, is that the plan right now? Would you do a tour?
Yeah, I'm planning to through the Midwest in April, May. I'm really excited for that. And be able to do Buffalo this summer, and I don't know, it hasn't come through yet, but there's talking about potentially getting to Toronto for just for Last Toronto, because I've never performed in Canada before. That's something that I would love to do, because I haven't seen that much of Canada, and I feel like I shouldn't assume, but I think the jokes that I do would go over fairly well.
Absolutely.
Canadian audience.
I was messaging a friend, and he said he and another one of my friends, I didn't even know they did this, went down to see you and Connor in Detroit, I think. They made a trek from Toronto to see you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you have an audience. I wouldn't be surprised if some people think you're Canadian.
It's pretty, I mean, Buffalo's pretty close to the border. I know you guys might be offended but yeah, I feel like I thought everybody got CBC growing up, but they didn't outside, you know, so most people surprisingly south of a certain area don't know, like, Red Green Show, when I remember watching a ton of that as a kid.
Oh, wow.
And stuff like that. Hockey Night in Canada. Like, I tried a Don Cherry reference online. I know he's not... really
in vogue
is one way of putting it. But yeah,
for years, for his entire career, he was kind of like that, and then just enough was enough. But now that he's like 85,
yeah,
we gotta pull him off the air. We are very tolerant up here, I guess. I don't know what the final straw was there. I wasn't following it that close. I'm like, really? Like, finally now?
Yeah,
he's gone.
I gotta look it up, because I only remember watching him as like a kid, and
yeah.
I just remember the end. But
it finally dawned on people that, wait a minute, he's been making fun of Europeans.
Oh yeah,
for the entire time. Like, that is racist. Like, it's weird. It was confusing. What it finally, for those who don't know, what finally did him in was he was referring to you people. as not wearing poppies during Remembrance Day, as I recall, is what happened. We have Remembrance Day here. You guys have a Memorial Day down there.
Yeah.
Up here, we wear poppies to commemorate Remembrance Day, which is meant to be a commemoration of military service. And anyway, he just went on a rant, and he kept saying, you people, which you can't say you people. He didn't even say who the people were. He might have been talking about Europeans, the way he always does. But he was like, you people come to this country and you, the poppies. By the way, I'm not defending the guy. I was just perplexed that it took this long.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, he's been like this the whole time. What is wrong with you? Like, I get, like, it's good, I think. But it was also like, I grew up with this guy.
Yeah.
Making fun of, you know, I played hockey and there weren't that many people of color playing hockey when I grew up.
Mm-mm.
But I was like, also like, I guess that's just the way he is. I kind of accept it. Anyway, I don't know why I'm taking this down.
I guess
this road.
He was maybe just like, you know, that family member who said that stuff, and you just shrugged it off, and you're like, well, that's that guy, or that's
Uncle Don. Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah,
I loved that clip of him and Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall was really great. I've watched it.
Oh yeah,
a number of times, and just like the
when they're on the talk show.
Yeah, and the way that
The
way that Scott Thompson kind of handled him and made him uncomfortable was just like, I don't know, up there with like some of the best interview, like talk show moments I've ever seen.
I often say Scott's my favorite guest I've ever had on this show.
Oh, really?
He's been on a few times. And he just, like you, he just says things that resonate with me in a way that I've often cited this. One of the kind of bum assignments you would get at the magazine I mentioned earlier, Exclaim, I didn't mind it, but some people really didn't like it. It was a questionnaire. So you weren't really interviewing someone. You were like Mr. Shatner. I did it with William Shatner once. And it's just a litany of like a Proust questionnaire. And you just set questions and you're just going through like 30 questions in as much time as you have with someone. Mm-hmm. But Scott's responses to some of those questions were incredible. And I think about them to this day. And we've had other chats over the years, and Kids in the Hall are huge for me. Did you get to watch Kids in the Hall as a kid?
Yeah. It was that era where Comedy Central was putting on their show on all the time. They must have got a good licensing deal to rebroadcast those. But, yeah, that was special. And their movie, I guess in terms of comedy moments, like the Brain Candy was a big one for me when I watched it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I went to the theater to see that. And then
really?
I did. Well, yeah, I was a huge fan. I saw them play as soon as the show ended, I saw them on tour. I had front row seats at their show in Kitchener, and I remember getting them because I worked a midnight shift at the gas station, and then the tickets went on sale at 10 a.m. And it was back in those 1995. I went from my gas station job at 8 a.m. I was done my shift, drove into town. I was first in line to buy tickets in person to see Kids in the Hall on their first tour after their show ended, and it was very magical. So I've been with them. They've been with me. I've been with them forever, and I've had nice conversations with almost all the members of that troupe. And Scott, I think you picked a good one with Scott if he's resonated with you, is all I'm saying. And the Larry Sanders Show. Definitely. Did you ever watch a Larry Sanders Show?
That is one I haven't watched. I don't know how. I guess I didn't have HBO, but I gotta watch it.
Do you want me to mail you my box set so you can watch it?
I won't say no.
I have three versions of. They put out various sets. I have like there's two smaller ones, just like compilation greatest hits. But then I have the massive one. So that's my favorite show. What I'm alluding to is that's my favorite show. So if you can watch it, it must be on a streaming service down there.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure I could get it. I wonder if it's on the HBO Max app even.
Yeah, I bet it is. And if you like The British Office, this is definitely a precursor to that. That sort of meta, what's real, what isn't real kind of stuff. Anyway, sorry, Joe. Yeah. I don't mean to give you comedy recommendations, but it is my favorite show.
No, I know. I'll have to watch that. But yes, I'm super excited that Kids in the Hall are coming back.
Yeah, they've got a new series on Amazon. If I may plug a giant company that we don't like very much.
Are you guys kind of are you bummed out that they're on there as opposed to where did they air originally?
So it was actually CBC and HBO.
Yeah.
And then they had this weird deal with CBS towards the end They got bumped off of HBO and they were on CBS in the States. And then things started to go downhill. Not for them. I think they did a great show, but the interest and the Lorne Michaels stuff, it didn't really mean as much for some reason. So they kept kind of getting screwed around is what I'm getting at. So I know there's no network affinity or it's fine. They do, as long as they're active and alive and doing stuff, we're happy. And I love those guys. Anyway, where was I going to say there? Yeah, so comedy, the book, where can people go to learn more about you and this book and anything else you want people to know about?
Check it out. I mean, anywhere you can buy a book online. I provided, if you go to my website, joepera.com, you can find it there. And pretty much anywhere you buy books, you can get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So joepera.com is the central hub.
Kind of, yeah. I think the site gives you some options so that you could go buy it from, Amazon.
Yeah, we're going to just keep plugging Amazon. It's got to be a mom and pop store. Some sort of bricks and mortar, if you can do it. Or the library. Get your library to stock it. They have to buy the books, I think.
Somebody sent me, a friend is a librarian at the New York Library, and they showed me that a copy is there now, which is really special, but also kind of gross to think that people may be taking it. The library book to the bathroom, but
over and over again. Do you think this is gonna? I have not read this in the bathroom. I will tell you, of the five times I've been in bed, do you think because of just the title, people are going to be like, I'm sorry, everyone. I just obtained this book. I must immediately retreat to the bathroom. Do you really think that's what's going to happen?
It's more fun in there. I don't know. Maybe you'll find a new experience if you read it on the John.
Okay. I will give it a shot. Not to gross anyone out, but I may give that a shot just to see what happens. No, it's a lovely book. I hope people pick it up. By the way, and I don't, this is out of left field. Previous guest on the show that I admire very much that you worked with quite a bit, Joe Firestone.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. I'm a big fan of Joe's, and we had a good chat some years ago. Actually, I think as part of JFL 42 in Toronto that you were alluding to, that's where we connected a little bit there.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, my point is, how's Joe? Do you see Joe much? Is Joe doing okay?
She's great. I was just talking with her. I don't know. Have you seen her special, I think, Good Timing with the older people?
I haven't seen it yet. It's another one of those things where I don't know if we... What's that on? Is that on a thing? A network of some kind or a service?
Peacock, the NBC app.
Yeah, so we don't have... Some of those things still are geo-blocked. We can't even watch them. I used to have a VPN.
Yeah.
Blocker, but it doesn't. They figure that stuff out. I can't watch because I used to like all the Hulu stuff, and I can't watch it now.
Really,
random Hulu stuff. Like it was only Murders in the Building on one of those Hulu or Peacock. I don't know if you know that show, the Steve Martin. Anyway, whatever. It was on one of those, and it just magically appeared on my Disney Plus thing here.
Interesting.
I don't know why, but I should look up. I've heard rave reviews about Joe's. Is it a series or is it a film? What is it?
It's a 1 hour special. That's probably
special,
right? That's why. Oh, right. I'm connecting the dots. That's why the truckers are protesting because they want the Peacock app in Canada. Right.
That's right. That was that whole. That's why they seized our capital. You guys have real
peacock.
It was very annoying. They would not stop yelling. They all threw their horns. To say peacock, it wasn't just like, bah, bah. It was like peacock. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Anyway.
Trudeau, Mr. Trudeau, give us Joe Firestone special.
That's pretty much what it was. You're not far off. I think that's what they wanted. We're not sure what they wanted, and it's almost done as far as I know as we're speaking, so that's good. But yeah, it's been quite a time up in Canada. You're picking quite a time in history to want to visit our country because it's a lot more like yours than it used to be, and it's frustrating. No offense, if I might say.
I get it.
Well, Joe, again, for more information, people listening, go to joepera.com and follow Joe on social media. Do you use that? Use that much? Okay, yeah. A little bit.
Twitter, Instagram, a little bit.
Okay.
Joe,
I just want to say this was, for me, a tremendous honor and a pleasure to have you on the show and to get to talk to you. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope we got to some stuff. I don't know if we did. And I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was very fun. And I'm just thinking, I hope your wife doesn't blame you watching me for your trying to eat oatmeal for lunch. Just getting too boring. I'm making you boring.
No. I was already boring. It's not your fault. Don't worry.
You should try proposing it for dinner and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But I think I just was like, we just had the greasiest sandwiches in our lives. Like, you know, all this stuff in it. Like, I just need something to level off. That's all I was getting at. I was trying to suggest that she and I should live longer. That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. She should be happy.
She's going to tell her parents and friends you tried to make her eat gruel for lunch.
Now you've got me concerned. You're supposed to make me feel calm. Now I'm stressed. Thanks,
sorry,
Joe.
Just teasing.
Thanks a lot.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Once again, thank you so much to Joe Para for appearing on this, the 671st episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available wherever it is you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode that you're looking for, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit my website, vishkana.com. Also, you can like Creative Control on Facebook or follow the show on Twitter at vishcreative, or you can follow me directly on Twitter and on Instagram at vishkana. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation. $6 or more a month grants you access to exclusive content both from my audio archives that precede this particular podcast, but also on most occasions when I think of it, some bonus content appears that emanates from current episodes. Sometimes I've had a very long conversation with someone, and it's so long that I think, that's enough. We don't have to get a bonus content. Sometimes I forget to ask for the bonus content. Most of the times I remember, but sometimes I just think this has been enough stuff, so we're good. But maybe, I think next week there's definitely going to be bonus content from the episode next week. That's my plan. Anyway, I think I'm underselling myself. $6 or more, again, grants you access to that exclusive content. And if you're interested in receiving a Creative Control t-shirt, just message me on Patreon and I will get you one while supplies last. And once again, you don't have to do $6. You could do $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, $6. You could do more. Some people do $20. There's at least like one or two people that do $20 a month, which is very kind. Just want to support the show because the show is free. You get it for free, the main show. And I think this is people's little way of, it's not little, it's huge. It's a huge way for them to support the show financially. So again, patreon.com/creativecontrol if you enjoy the free stuff. Just give a little bit back. It's a little bit of advertising money, but it's very minuscule and I don't like it. I'd rather just get the Patreon stuff. Anyway, thanks again to Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, respectively, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, for their in-kind support for this show. Thanks as always to my friend Jim Guthrie. He lets me use music of his on the show. He's got a lot going on. You can learn more about Jim at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you so much for listening to this episode with Joe Para. This was honestly a thrill to have Joe on the show. We had a nice time. I hope you enjoyed it. If you don't know Joe, go to Joe Pera's website, joepera.com, and look him up on YouTube. So much great stuff. And if you did know Joe and you don't know me, please consider subscribing to this podcast, telling your friends about this episode and maybe the other ones, and spread the word about the show if you can. Otherwise, I will talk to you very soon. Goodbye for now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.